Spiritual gifts. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
This morning I have something very important to say to all of us. Something the great Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian Christians. Even though I'm quoting his age-old words, they still ring true today. In fact, I dare say they are as relevant and as applicable to us as they were to the early Christians. And if you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says in the first verse, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, for that matter, sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." The New Revised Standard Version translates it as, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Like Paul, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to say, I don't know anything about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to say, I don't have any spiritual gift. And I'll tell you why. As part of our biblical core value, we at FBBC believe that a proper exercise of spiritual gifts by every single member, every Christian, every disciple of Jesus Christ, edifies both the individual believer and the church. You heard of the saying, ignorance is bliss. But the Bible tells us rather emphatically, ignorance of spiritual gifts is no bliss. It is no bliss for you if you know nothing about spiritual gifts, and perhaps worst of all, do nothing with your spiritual gifts at all. You ignore spiritual gifts at your own dissatisfaction, and if I may emphasize this, at your own stunted growth as a disciple of Christ. Hence, the church problem number one is this. Christians settle for far less than God intended. If we ignore our spiritual gifts, we are settling for less than God's best for our life. If we reject our spiritual gifts, we are stepping out of God's will for our lives. If we don't appreciate and apply our spiritual gift, we are like the man in Jesus' parable who buried his one talent in the ground rather than investing it and multiplying a hundredfold. So that's problem number one. There's a second major problem in the ignorance of spiritual gifts, and it's this. Churches hardly tap the full potential of the people. It's one thing for you to say ignorance is no bliss. But let's not forget, when we say something like this, it is also no bliss for FBBC. What affects you and I affects our church. As believers in Christ Jesus, we no longer live and die by ourselves, but rather we are called to be active, functioning members of His church. Therefore, if we ignore our spiritual gift, FBBC can't tap into our potential for growth and ministry. If we don't exercise our spiritual gift, FBBC cannot stretch beyond its limits. If we don't use our spiritual gift, FBBC wouldn't have the muscles to carry its ministry load. If we bring our spiritual gift to a halt, we will stop FBBC from going further in its work for God. And if we don't pay the price for strengthening and sharpening our spiritual gift, we won't be able to capture the prize of God's special favor upon every single person in this church. And therefore I say, there is no bliss in the ignorance of spiritual gifts. With that in mind, let me move on to the definition of spiritual gifts. And I will put it this way. In line with what I have in mind, I say spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities sovereignly given by the Spirit of God to all the saints at the time of salvation to enable them to serve God effectively in and through the church. Now, according to my rather simple definition, there are five important things about spiritual gifts. You can follow me in the outline. Each of them begins with letter S. The first letter S stands for salvation. That is the starting point of spiritual gifts. That is where all our spiritual gifts begin. When we become Christian, Whether you realize it or not, if you have not heard it, now is the time to wake up. When we become Christian, God bestows us with spiritual gifts. And so Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all, you hear that? All, given the one Spirit to drink. See, in the days of the New Testament, there were only two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. There were also two classes of people, free or slaves. But with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in both the lives of the Jews and the Gentiles, they were incorporated into one body, the one body of Christ, regardless of denomination, if I may say so. Because as far as God is concerned, there's only one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. So whether free or slave, they become members of the one and same church. Therefore, there is no division of race or status or anything else in the church. Every one of us is equal in God's eyes. Whether it's you as you were sitting in a pew or someone like me standing here at the pulpit. Where can we see this? Where every one of us is equal in God's eyes. The answer? At the point of salvation, at the point of our spiritual birth. Without exception, we have been given one, if not more, spiritual gifts when we believe in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We receive our spiritual gift upon our conversion. Not days, not weeks, not months, and certainly not years after your conversion. Your spiritual gift is not dependent on your spiritual maturity. You may be a new babe in Christ, but you are gifted spiritually speaking. Yes, you require time and effort to know and exercise your spiritual gift, but you are already gifted from day one in your Christian life. So don't let anyone in the world tell you you're not gifted. Say to yourself in the name of Christ, I'm already gifted, certainly, with spiritual gift. Hence, spiritual gifts are also known as grace gifts. They are gifts of God's grace. They have nothing to do with who we are and what we do. They have nothing to do with our worthiness or holiness or godliness, as important as they may be. Like the very gift of salvation itself, spiritual gifts are gifts of God's unmerited, unwarranted, undeserved favor for us. It has nothing to do with what we can think of, as it were. It's all from God by His grace. The second S stands for supernatural. And by that, I don't mean they are necessarily sensational or spectacular. Of course, some gifts such as tongues or interpretation of tongues and healings or miracles are certainly more noticeable than gifts such as helps, giving, and administration. By supernatural, I mean spiritual gifts are not synonymous as natural talents. Now, we recognize both as from God. We acknowledge God as the source of both, but they are not the same. Natural talents and spiritual gifts are not the same in terms of nature and certainly not in terms of purpose. In the Corinthian passage, Paul tells us in verses 4 to 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, this verse shows very clearly that spiritual gifts are supernatural because they are the gifts of the Holy Triune, a mighty God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, unlike spiritual gifts, Natural talents are basically expressed in the physical or social realm. Take, for example, singing. I think of Caroline, for example. Or you may have a good voice, but it doesn't mean you will sing in worship for the Lord like our dear sister Caroline. Or take teaching as an example. You may be a training instructor, and you may be able to impart information clearly and systematically, but it doesn't mean that, like those who are gifted with teaching, they possess the power of spiritual illumination and instruction and influence. Or you may be a successful business leader. It doesn't mean you will automatically fit into the business of the church. Yet I must say that natural talents and spiritual gifts can and may overlap. Upon conversion, a teacher may realize he has been given the gift of teaching. Or after becoming a Christian, a singer may decide to sing for God instead of entertaining people and making money out of it. I think, for example, Sir Cliff Richard may be a good one. Or a geopolitician may discover God has given him the gift of mercy and leadership to start a worldwide Christian movement. I think of Chuck Colson, once the henchman of the late President Richard Nixon, who became the president of Prison International Fellowship. Who would have thought someone like him would turn to Christ and become a Christian? Who would have thought that someone like him would be used by God to start special ministry for those who had been behind bars like him? Or I think of a Christian Olympic athlete who chose to run for the honor and glory of God's name. You seen the movie Chariots of Fire? The famous British runner, Eric Liddell. So as you can see, our spiritual gift and our natural talent may dovetail. In short, I'll put it this way. Natural talents are inherent. We are born with them. But spiritual gifts are inherited. We inherit them by our spiritual birth. There's a third letter. S. Stands for sovereign. Spiritual gifts are sovereignly given by God. They are solely determined and distributed by the Spirit of God. And so, speaking of spiritual gift, Paul says, this time I quote from verse 11, all this are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Using the analogy of a human body, Paul further explained in verse 18, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We may desire or even pray for a certain spiritual gift or spiritual gifts, but ultimately God gives as he wills. We can't go before God and dictate what we want. We can't be like, as you read in the book of Acts, Simon the magician, who wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit with money. Can you imagine? He was so impressed. You know what? I like to do this. If I can spare with money in my wallet, I want it. No, that's not how it operates. You see, God is not a spiritual vending machine where we slot in our coin or request and then we get what we want. God is not a cosmic Santa Claus to whom we submit our list of preferred gifts. Rather, God is a sovereign Lord of the church who alone decides your gift and my gift. As a result of God's sovereign choice, we can avoid three problems over spiritual gifts. The first is false modesty. Paul puts it this way in chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. If the foot to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ears to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So whether it is the foot or the ear speaking, the message is the same. Because I'm not this, that, and the other, Therefore, I do not belong to the body. Any one of us saying something like that, I submit to us, it is false modesty in God's eyes. So no matter what our spiritual gift may be, we can't say, I don't think I'm gifted enough, so you don't need me. We can't say, I don't feel I'm that gifted. I think it's better you leave me out. If you ever think, speak or feel like that, it will be considered false modesty in God's eyes. Just as the feet, the hands, the ears, and the eyes are all parts of the body, so are our spiritual gifts part of the body of FBBC. Just as the different parts belong to the body, so all our gifts belong to the same body of this church. So in the face of God's sovereignty, there is no place for false modesty. The second problem we can avoid is pride. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul warns, knowledge puffs up. And guess what? So can spiritual gift, especially those we consider more important or more prominent than others. This is why Paul tells us in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Whether it is the eye speaking to the hand or the head speaking to the feet, the message is the same. I don't need you. Anytime you hear anyone saying something like this, I don't need you, that is pride speaking. Now, as we all know, pride is one of the most dangerous and the most destructive forces in life. The Paul writer warns, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride will not only destroy an individual, but it can also destroy a whole church. And therefore, just as the eye needs the hand and the head needs the feet, we all need each other's spiritual gift. In the face of God's sovereignty, there is certainly no place for pride, whatever our gift may be. There's a third problem we can avoid, and that is envy. The story is told of a toe that is envious of the eye. And you know why? Because the eye gets to see the beauty of the world. And so the toe complains to the master of the body and asks to see. The master assures the toe that he plays an equally important part as the eye. But the toe isn't convinced. In the end, his wish is granted. Guess what the toe get to see? Answer, the inside of a sock. What's the moral of the story? We don't have to be envious or jealous of another person's gift because all spiritual gifts are equally important in God's eyes. So instead of false modesty, pride, and envy, Paul has interdependence in mind. And so he tells us in verses 25 and 26, there should be no division in the body, but it is part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And just like all the parts of our human body are interconnected, so are all our spiritual gifts. So in the face of God's sovereignty, there is no place for independence. Do your own thing at your own time, your own way, to whoever you can. No, no, no. This is not how it works in the church. But there should be interdependence. All our spiritual gifts are decided and distributed according to God's sovereignty. The fourth S stands for service. Spiritual gifts are given for service, for ministry, for building up the church. They are not trophies for our prideful display of our own satisfaction, but they are for building one another up in this church. And therefore, we should never be self-centered in the use of spiritual gift. Serving others is what spiritual gift is all about. It's what it comes down to. Building up the church, FBBC, is what we do with our gifts. In one simple word, it is edification. Service, ministry, church building is what we find in the New Testament writings on spiritual gift. And broadly speaking, we use our spiritual gift for two purposes. One, the good of the church, and two, for the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." That is the common good of the church. Two chapters later in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, this time 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, "Since you're eager to a spiritual gift, try to excel in gifts that build up the church." Again, you get the idea of building up. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4, "It is he," that is the ascended Christ, "who gives some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be apostles, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's work, God's people rather, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become matured, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So we use our spiritual gifts for the good of the church, but we also use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. The Apostle Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various form." Again, there is emphasis on service. And then Peter goes on to say, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, "If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." In talking about spiritual gift, the Apostle Peter is so excited that he bursts out in doxology. He sings in praise of God, high exaltation of God. And this is how we should regard our spiritual gifts. We must never ever take them for granted, but we use them for the good of the church and the glory of God. We serve God and people with our spiritual gifts. Someone says, our spiritual gifts are like our muscles. The more we exercise them, the stronger we get. The more we use them, the more effective we become. The more we put them to work, the more we grow. And if I may ask you point blank, if I can talk to you face to face, the question is this: have you been exercising your spiritual gift? Because God has gifted us, and God wants us to exercise our spiritual gift, not just for ourselves, but for the good of our church and for the glory of God's name. Finally, the last S stands for sufficient. If you're familiar with Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, there's not one but two. And you read the two letters, you read every line, you read in between the line, you know that like many churches today, perhaps including a church like ours, they are plagued with all kinds of conflict and controversies. They have members ganging up on each other, puffing out with knowledge, committing sexual immorality, and suing one another. Can you imagine? Church members taking each other to court. And as if that is not enough, they have problems with their marriages, food offered to idols, demon worship, communion, so on and so forth. Then if I had a choice to pastor a church, this Corinthian church is one I tell God, please do not send me there. This is one church that will not only give you headaches, but can break your heart. But here, Paul tells us at the very beginning of his letter to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him, you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. Despite the ignorance of spiritual gifts, Paul says to the Corinthian believers, you do not lack any spiritual gift. In the same way, I believe FBBC doesn't lack any spiritual gift. I believe all my heart, not just because I'm a pastor of this church, but I believe all my heart that God has given us the gift to fulfill the vision and the mission as we go not just beyond this year, but as long as Jesus tarries until he returns. God wants to restore the light of this church and make it shine far and wide beyond the four walls of this place. I believe that God has given us sufficient gifts for the good of our church and the glory of his name. I believe God gives different gifts to different members for different functions. With God in charge of the distribution of gifts in our church, there should be no lack of spiritual gifts. And so if we are not achieving our ministry as we ought to, it's not because God has not given us sufficient gifts, but it's because members have not exercised their gifts. And it's because members have wasted the gifts that God has given to us. And so if some members are severely overworked, like some of our leaders or even our musicians, it certainly means other members are seriously underworked. This is not what God desires. In giving us spiritual gifts, God wants every member to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ that is not just worth his or her salt, but is an active, functioning member of his church. God forbids that we have what I call NATO Christian. In my former churches know what I mean when I say this. The word NATO doesn't stand for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. You know what it stands for? No action, talk only. Now, this is one class of members we don't need. And if you know there's such a person, let me know, okay? We'll pray very hard for him or her. God wants every one of us. You know, we're called upon to stand up and say like the prophet Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. And therefore, as faithful, responsible members, we will play our part. We will exercise our gift and enable FBBC to grow. And we will help FBBC to succeed, and I believe FBBC will succeed because God has given us all spiritual gifts, enough spiritual gifts to take us beyond ourselves. And so, as part one of my sermon today, I'll conclude this way. The proper constant exercise of spiritual gifts by every one of us will build us up and the church of God. Amen. You have in your hand a very important exercise. It's called Modified HOTS Questionnaire. HOTS is the name of the author. And of course, over the years, they have improved it. I was just talking to Ethan. You know who is Ethan, by the way? The boy of Scott and Stella. He wants to do this exercise. Hello. All right. And by the way, Scott, don't need to ask me to fill it in pencil. He will take one copy for himself. Right. And I believe that if Ethan can do this 125 questions, who among us say, oh, I don't know how to do it? If you have eyes and you can read and understand what is going on, you can answer that. It's a very simple exercise, and I urge you with all my heart as your pastor, if you have not done this before, please, if I had to go on my knees and say, tolong, tolong, in Malay that means please, please, do it. Take your time. All right? Read the question. Take your time. Feel it. And then, at the end of the age, and in the page, you will have a good idea what your gifting may be. All right? And believe me, I will use this as a great opportunity to interact with any one of you. If I see you and I say, hey,